This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
Again, it's football time. It never stops. Never stops.
Oh, Jason's face says it all. This is the week.
Thursday.
We had been talking Phoenix Suns before hitting the record button, and I was happy for a moment. Just a single solitary moment. And then you said those dumb words, it's football time, and
because
it reminded
it
me.
Oh, it's so good.
It reminded me how hard I'm about to tilt my face off this whole weekend.
About to tilt?
Yeah.
Brother, you're mid-tilt.
I mean, you know, you got in. I was here first, Andy. You walked in, and you could tell I was
a whirling dervish.
I mean, I was clapping, and all I was saying was, "I want to watch the accident. I want to watch the." I am ready to rubberneck this game tonight, and I mean, Jason is. He's beginning to build so many potential choices into his decisions for tonight that it's like hitting an impossible parlay. Like, mathematically, he's getting to the point where he can't make the right combination of choices. Specifically, he's got all these flex choices this week, and it's compounded. Jason, you and Mike are facing off head-to-head. Foot Clan, follow along. I will be watching with you with giggles from the sideline. But they're playing. This game is so important to both of you.
This could be our season for the two of us. We both have awesome teams that have had some bad luck along the way. One of us could easily miss the playoffs. One of us is pretty much a lock for the playoffs based on what happens this weekend.
And so Jason is toiling with flex decisions, as all of you are out there. That's why, I mean, he's an expert. He obviously knows the right way to go.
Land it.
But we've got Titans Packers tonight. Jason's got himself some Derrick Henry. So Mike will be just when you are facing Derrick Henry. Let me explain what you are doing. You are zooming your eyeballs on the clock. You want that clock to just run out as fast as possible. You know, just some slow drives. AJ Dillon, just get some third down pickups. Just keep him off the field. Keep him off the field and try to escape without the week being over already.
Yes, 100%. If we can get out of here with...
I can't wait!
If we could get like 80 and a touchdown...
You're happy.
I accept.
You just don't want 203.
I would prefer that.
Look, snow has fallen in Vermont. We know the Yeti is there. The weather is cold. Things are setting up right. But now the question for me is Christian Watson, who I have had on my bench last week. And
good play.
Thank you. You have Alan Lazard. So there's so many nuances to this game of me versus you, Packer versus Packer, cold weather.
Randall Cobb is back.
Yeah. How does the snow model work when they're up against another cold weather team?
It doesn't matter. Historically speaking,
Kyle, do we have anything on the snow model about?
Well, no, Yetis still eat Canadians, and they're from the north. So I think the Yeti is still undefeated.
They eat Canadians?
Well, I'm just saying, like, the Canadians are from the north. You said, how do they do against cold weather?
The world knows that the Canadian flesh is just a little bit tastier for mythological creatures.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really connect the dots too well there.
No, also, are the Packers Canadian?
No, I mean, the kind of...
it was just an anecdote.
The situation was, he said, how do they do against people from the north?
Okay.
Cold weather teams like the Green Bay Packers.
I just figured the Canadians are as north as they get.
But are they more prepared to fight off a Yeti?
These are questions we...
Like the people in the Swiss Alps. They know how to handle a Yeti.
Well, they're pretty neutral over there on Yetis. Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers. These are the types of questions we'll answer with detailed statistical analysis on today's show.
Yes.
The important questions. So it will be fun to watch what happens tonight and through the weekend. Jason, get the blood pressure medication. Don't, overindulge on heart attack-inducing foods.
I have a resting heart rate of 85 right now.
Yeah.
And I will expect that to go up through the weekend.
So big show today, Never Not Working. Pretty important topic we're talking about there. News and notes, the fantasy forecast, the starts of the week, the boom boom kicker, jam-packed episode. Brooks kept trying to get us to hit record this morning because he knew how jam-packed it was going to be. You got somewhere to be, Brooksy?
Nah.
We got Jay Grizz in the Deucer's Alley today.
Oh, wow.
This is his first time producing a show, so if anything goes wrong, you know what happened.
Yeah, he's big. He's pretty big. Al Borland just taking another lazy day, and Brooks is on the ones and twos. The Borgogan is here as well. Let's get into Never Not Working.
Never Not Working. Presented by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Available at Walmart.
Well, every week we are diving into some important topics, slightly more relevant than Yeti-related analysis. Mm-hmm. And today we are looking at just target share and analyzing that number. We use it often. We talk about targets being earned. We talk about the fact that, targets are a skill, and it's something that we use as fantasy players to identify who the alphas are in these offenses. And I want to get a little bit more nuanced with target share today. Target share is a good first step in showing you what percentage of team targets a skilled player is demanding, right? You look at target share numbers this year. DeAndre Hopkins is at 32.9%, number one. CeeDee Lamb, Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, A.J. Brown. That's your top list of target share. So that's also a list of the best wide receivers in football. But what I want to bring to mind today is the fact that we need context, because that number is blind when you are comparing that number across different passing pies for different teams. Because you have to look at things like, how often is a team throwing the football at all? How valuable are those targets? For example, a Mahomes target, much more valuable than a Russell Wilson target. How often does the team stay on the field? How efficient are they? So let's compare some numbers. Let's look at players that both have the same target share, but different nuance, different context. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Darnell Mooney.
Okay, both good players.
Also the sun and the moon.
Oh.
So it's a very important comparison.
I like what we did there.
28% target share, both of them, but very different archetypes in terms of wide receivers. One's a PPR slot receiver. The other is a 4-3-8 deep threat. Look, the Bears and the Lions, they actually average the same fantasy points per pass attempt. So you've got same target share, same fantasy points per pass attempt.
Interesting.
But Chicago, they rank last in pass rate. So you completely nerf the chances that Darnell Mooney is going to get, the routes, the opportunities. He is 45th in total routes run. 45th in total routes run, same target share. That's fewer routes run than Ben Skowronek. And that's despite what the Bears don't even have a bye week yet.
Right. They haven't even they have 10 weeks so far.
Amon-Ra, 10th in fantasy points per route run. It is not apples to apples when you look at the offense surrounding these target share numbers, right?
Sure.
DJ Moore, 27.8% target share. That is 11th. Delightful. He's barely, like I read those names earlier, he's like a few names down the list from that. 83rd in fantasy points per target. Also a career low in yards after the catch per target.
Don't worry, Darnold's on his way.
So if he, which I saw that news, there were like some people want him to get an opportunity. I don't know who that is.
Who've watched the Panthers.
I mean, DJ Moore is one of the greatest examples of the target share not telling the whole story. Just being chapter one in a book that ends up with a bad ending. Carolina's offense, incredibly inefficient. Fewest total plays per game. 25th in pass rate over expectation. Bad offense. Bad targets. I mean, I wouldn't doubt if that yards after catch number is affected by the fact that when he gets a target he finally can catch, he's not in a position to run anymore like he used to be. And then the biggest example I think we've seen this year, and I'll give credit to Jason on seeing this coming, because it would be easy for me to take target numbers, and tell you Deontay Johnson's the same as he's always been. 26% target share, delicious. 9th in total targets. Spectacular. 12th in red zone targets. Let's go. Deontay must be dominating for your fantasy roster. 96th in fantasy points per target. A Patrick Mahomes pass attempt is worth three times a Steelers pass attempt this year.
Okay.
That's a shocking number. Good work there, Kyle, finding that information.
Interesting, like to quantify.
I mean, think about
with the information we have right now, the value of one person's passing attempt.
If and obviously it's a Steeler pass attempt because Trubisky was part of it. But like right now,
Pickett's not
if
better.
If Pickett, no, I'm just saying like it's not just including one quarterback. But if Pickett goes back to pass and he throws three consecutive passes at Deontay Johnson, that is less valuable than one pass from Patrick Mahomes. So Deontay's doing nothing wrong by way of that target share. It is an earned stat. You earn those targets. You're apparently open. You're somebody that the quarterback is staring down. But there's a lot that goes into the equation. And my only problem with the target share number really is when you fall back on it to say why that player is still good for the rest of the year, right? Like we can't – because what happens is you look dumb over time. Week two, look at that target share for Kyle Pitts. Week five, look at that target share for Kyle Pitts. Week eight. Look at me not making the playoffs.
Right. It's one of those things that is good for knowing that the player is good more in a dynasty outlook and a long-term outlook. We've talked about this, you know, for years. Everybody knows it, but we have to remind ourselves. This has been like a tip on things to remember in the offseason is how important quarterback play is for the wide receiver. Next year, Kyle Pitts is probably going to have a rookie quarterback, and people are going to be like, yes, he's got a new quarterback. It's going to solve it. That's probably not going to be the case. Rookie quarterbacks don't really support a lot of passing yards and passing touchdowns. So we just have to continue to fade wide receivers with bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you look at that list. Kyler, Dak, Stafford, Tua, Cousins. I mean, you do have foundational quarterbacks there. Something to remember. So that is it, unless, Mike, you have anything you want to add.
I do not.
Get up to 100% dandruff protection that is never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology available at Walmart.com. Use it every time you shampoo and see the difference.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Andy Dalton's going to remain the starter in Week 11 for the New Orleans Saints. Dennis Allen came out and said Jameis Winston's not going to be 100% healthy this season, but is healthy enough to serve as the backup.
And practice in full every day.
So,
I mean, I get it. That is a situation that could be true where it's probably not best for him to go out and take a bunch of hits. But we now know that for the rest of the season, it appears like it's Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has played poor enough in stretches to be benched and has not been benched yet.
I still think it could happen.
Oh, I mean, Dalton can really he can do a lot to bench himself here, but
bench yourself.
But yeah, we have clarity that it's Dalton, which means the play is not going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, there are definitely injuries where your performance could be affected. You may be able to get out there, but maybe you're less accurate or something of that nature. Matthew Stafford, full participant. He's on track to play in week 11.
Okay, with his maybe concussion?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah. No one will ever know. It's between him and the Lord.
Does Stafford know?
He has no idea.
Like, can the doctor tell him?
It's one of the signs of concussion. You do not know whether you have one.
Okay.
Taylor Heinicke will start in week 11. Ron Rivera confirming. This was the first week that Carson Wentz was eligible to return. I'd be telling him to just heal up, buddy. Justin Jefferson, limited. Devontae Adams, limited. I don't think those are situations that we need to worry about until we get practice reports today. But just be aware, no one likes to see their Justin Jefferson show up on the injury report.
With a toe.
No one does. That is right.
I'm pretty disappointed.
Held my breath for that. Mark Andrews returned to a limited practice. You might have seen a report that he was not at practice. That was circulating. That was for the kind of open media portion, but he did participate in limited fashion.
That's so interesting.
He has like, been in
he didn't want to show the media.
It's like Josh Allen last week.
Yeah, like, milking the suspense. We never talked about that.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But
I prefer not to. I can't get back into that.
I think there's some of that going on with Arizona right now. Kyler Murray, Colt McCoy, both day-to-day. There's reports that Kyler can miss another week. If you listen to Cliff Kingsbury talk about it, he says he hopes one of these guys are out there. I thought both reports sounded optimistic when I listened to him. I thought there's a chance that both of these guys could be ready, and you're just trying to get that, advantage over San Francisco on Monday Night Football.
The thing for Cliff, you know the line of Princess Bride when he's like, I don't think that word means what you think it means. I think that's true for the phrase day-to-day. I don't think Cliff understands what day-to-day actually means.
Yeah, I think he thinks it means he's injured, but he's going to play soon, someday.
Maybe he means days-to-days.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what he's pluralizing it.
Is he just dropping the S?
I don't know.
And we're not hearing it?
Now, if he said if someone was week-to-week, does that mean season
ender? That means that we'll see them in 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, guess what?
Oh, baby.
There is a chance. There's a chance Hollywood Brown is back.
He's been day-to-day on the IR for 4 weeks.
Monday night, there is a chance he's been designated to return from the foot fracture.
That is great news. The original timeline was 6 weeks. This will have been 4 missed games. So this is a little bit earlier, which...
The original timeline was season ending.
Well, that was the original fear. The original timeline, once they actually got the report on the fracture, was going to be 6 weeks. So this is earlier, which is both good news in the sense that it looks like his healing and his recovery has gone excellent, but also leads me to believe that, like, I'm not going to, in any way, shape, or form, rely on a Monday night player coming off of this injury that might not play. You give him this
with
week.
No idea of who you are at quarterback either. But it's a good sign for this offense. And if you're looking at Cardinals offensive pieces down the line, Kyler should be back. He'll have these weapons.
And if you're in a league that doesn't have an IR slot, Hollywood, I'm sure, was dropped in plenty of those leagues over the last little while. Be aware that he's been activated and pick him up.
And then the Chiefs Wednesday practice. Juju didn't practice. McColl didn't practice. MBS didn't practice. So that's a Sunday night football game. Juju, McColl, MBS, they shouldn't really be factored into your plans this weekend because of that start time.
Yeah, MVS has an illness, so I don't necessarily think he's going to miss. Juju's concussion was one of those that looked serious on the field.
There's no way he plays.
Exactly. So he is like ruled out to me. And McColl already missed the last game. So if he's missing practice, I'm going to go ahead and mentally rule him out for now as well.
Chargers, Sunday night game as well, obviously, the other side of this ball game. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, both returned to individual drills. The wide receivers in this game, there are questions on both sides of the ball. Do you think there's any chance Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are out there on the field? Jason.
I think it's very, very low odds that both of them are out. We were talking this morning.
Both of them are out there.
On the field.
They're very different things.
That's fair. Thank you for pointing that out. you know, we were, before the show, just giving our own little takes. Keenan Allen feels 50-50 to play. Mike Williams feels 80-20 to not play.
Agreed. That was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. I will say this. Kadarius Toney, Josh Palmer, they're very much affected by the availability of those other players, even if you don't have confidence in those players themselves.
Mm-hmm. As there is a superstar, as Jason would say on Kansas City.
That's right. Justin Watson, baby.
So if right now, Mike, in a, with what you know, Kadarius Toney or Josh Palmer, who do you have more interest in this week?
Toney.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It what will also be interesting is...
Toney.
Hey, Toney. The Patrick, like, let's say all three of these guys miss, okay? The situation of Patrick Mahomes being without his weapons and Justin Herbert, like we've had the entire season, Justin Herbert, no weapons, okay? Herbert's fine, but he doesn't have his, once he gets his weapons, he'll be perfectly fine. But will Patrick Mahomes say, that does not matter to me?
Well, he's got
his main weapon.
Yeah, he's got Kelsey, so
well,
I think he'll
well,
be
one. But just
MBS is—he doesn't count as a weapon.
He's part of the offense.
No, I know.
He helps.
He had a big catch last
up.
Week.
Opens yeah. things up yeah, for other did. Players.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the benefits of adding Kadarius Toney to the offense is you are making up for the potential absence of these different weapons.
Yeah, and I too would also take Kadarius Toney over Palmer. Both have great opportunities, but Kadarius Toney looks like the much more explosive, talented player. And we just talked
more
about
more touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes.
The yeah. value of Mahomes' targets, yep.
Into the forecast we go.
Fantasy forecast.
Well, it's very important to me that we begin with a matchup that I'm going to call the Thundersnow matchup. Cleveland, 3-6.
What is going on?
Going to Buffalo, who are sitting at 6-3. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Buffalo -7.5. The over-under is now 42. It opened at 46.5. Thundersnow is it's a word I've never heard until now.
I need this explained to me. What is does anyone know?
It's a snowstorm with thunder.
It is. It's like, you know how you can get like a nice rainy day that's not a thunder? It's not a thunderstorm. It's just a rainy day. That's what like normal snow's like. But if there's like thunder and lightning and snow all at once,
well,
that's
thunder snow.
It's thunder snow.
Okay, but like
that sounds like one of those monster truck rallies.
Sunday. But I feel like if you add thunder to a snowstorm,
yeah, get some lightning in there too, Mike.
Okay, well, you can. But we have thunderstorms here in Arizona without like lightning is not an issue.
No, it's happening up there in the clouds.
Right.
Yeah, but this is the
but
first
it's not
time.
Striking.
Right. To be clear, these are icicle lightning bolts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That do
okay.
Hit.
Now we're talking about dangerous stuff in Buffalo. If only there was something that humanity could do.
Not possible.
That would like protect us from the elements of outside. Like if there were
like a lid, for the bowl.
Something over my head, you know, protect me from the thunderstorm, the thunder snowstorm, whatever it is.
Mike, they have their facilities right now. If they were ever to build a new one, that's something they could address it.
Surely they would say, we will never have to deal with something uncomfortable like this again.
Well, they're not going to put $1 billion into a new
making like the same
open
exact mistake.
Air stadium.
Yeah, why would you do that?
I mean, that would be freaking ridiculous.
It's the definition of insanity. Just repeating the same thing over,
snow.
Expecting different results.
Well, but the thing is people like outdoor games.
Yeah.
If only there was
the rest of the episode, Brooks.
If only there was a retractable roof
right.
system that people could create.
Imagine.
To where they could play good weather games outdoors and protect yourself from, I don't know, games that are being rumored to possibly move.
Let me read you the forecast. 3 to 6 feet of snow by Sunday, including possible thunder snow, shaping out to be potentially one of the most extreme snowstorms in the history of the United States of America.
Do people in Buffalo like just live outside? Like, do they not have
like lids on their houses?
Yeah, yeah. Do they just they live in open air homes? There's just some walls, and they're like, yeah, this is how we've always done it.
We're a football town. I'm not putting a roof on my home.
There's somebody at just, this meeting.
Just with, smashing wings and getting snowed on. And tables. And tables are also being destroyed.
Are we done with Buffalo?
I will never cease with this argument.
I absolutely hate the open air stadium in Snowville country and windy areas, but we can conclude that thought and get back to the actual game. And from a fantasy perspective with regards to the weather, I was reading a recent article from Kevin Roth. He is a meteorologist who focuses on fantasy, does work with Roto Grinders, and he says that a lot of those 3 to 6 feet things are worst case, probably not going to happen. 1 to 2 feet is more probable. But regardless, for this game, the snow is anticipated to come all before the game. As of this recording, there is not even expected to be snowfall during the game other than little flurries. They know how to clean it up. So I do think that the massive, gigantic fears of an 8-0 snowball game are probably not going to happen.
Is there the possibility of them moving this game simply because of the idea of getting fans to the game, the safety around that? If this is a extreme weather event, it might be less about can we play through it and, you know, they can clear the field off, and more about, you know, can anybody show up safely to this football game?
That is certainly a possibility. I believe it was 2014 where they had to move Buffalo for a similar situation.
Snow games traditionally produce 45 more combined rushing yards and one full rushing touchdown over non-snow games. There is a good article on the site titled Weather Really Matters by Matt DeSorbo.
Oh, Matthew, so clever.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of getting through that title. But that makes you've got some decisions here surrounding, I think, peripheral options, right? In a snow game, you're not going to sit Stephon Diggs under any circumstance, and Josh Allen, he is a running back. He is one of those players more immune to this circumstance at the quarterback position.
Yeah, the rushing touchdowns aren't just running back touchdowns. They're rushing touchdowns. Josh Allen could easily convert passing touchdowns into rushing touchdowns in this game.
I want to point out that Josh Allen, rushing wise recently, I mean, 32, 49, 86, 84, like significantly more than like Jalen Hurts has put up lately. People have talked about him struggling with the passing game right now. He is making up for it fantasy wise with the running game. Let's talk about some other options though. Devin Singletary, Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox, where are you with those secondary options in the Buffalo offense that, you know, they're facing a Browns defense that is very vulnerable?
They are very vulnerable. I'm a little bit more hesitant with Gabriel Davis due to the weather. There is supposed to be about 15-mile-an-hour winds. That affects more of the deep passing. That's kind of the heyday for Gabriel Davis. Not that he can't catch a touchdown in this and that you need to bench him, but he would be more my concern in this game. The real question for me is Devin Singletary. He has had a lot of really worthless games this season, but when he's involved, and, you know, last week we saw 2 touchdowns, 13 carries, played 72% of the snaps. This is a snowy game, so it could work out well for the running game in a good matchup against Cleveland. He is my biggest question. He's one of the 4 players on my personal roster against Mike this week that I'm trying to decide between him, Christian Watson, Josh Palmer, kind of that tier. So, Andy, let me ask you, Devin Singletary or Christian Watson?
Look, both players have the chance of hurting you. I do lean Watson. I don't. It's hard for me not to, you know, it's 3 touchdowns. This is a very explosive player. I'm not worried about Randall Cobb. I think all of your shots in this game, they're not coming. They're not going to Allen Lazard. Allen Lazard's really good at, you get in the red zone, Allen Lazard is a threat. But I think your shots in this game are 100% to Christian Watson. So I do lean that direction. It depends on what your team needs. So that's my
a win.
Yeah.
But Devin Singletary to me is a flex option.
Singletary is a flex option for me. I have him right now at running back 20. So he's still. He's inside the top 24. I'm not worried about playing him.
Any renewed hopes for Kareem Hunt in a game that might need more rushing?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
No, it is really.
Cleveland, what are you doing?
It's very difficult to trust Kareem Hunt right now with the way that they've been utilizing him or not utilizing him. 36% of the snaps, 6 carries last game. That's not a player you can start.
Can we just play Nick Chubb and no one else on the Cleveland Browns? I mean, I don't. Amari Cooper on the road has been really bad with the weather situation. I know Donovan Peoples-Jones has been involved, but again, you're playing a defense that's really, really good on their home turf in a tough weather game. You know, if it's that cold, you know, you have drops. You have some of those circumstances. Cold, you know, I know Cleveland knows what they're doing, but do you guys want to take a chance with those other players?
I think you can. Obviously, Amari Cooper is really good on the course of the season. He's been horrific in his road games. This is a road game against tough defense. Donovan Peoples-Jones has been really consistent. A lot of yardage and targets and receptions, especially while David Njoku has been out. David Njoku did not practice Wednesday, still dealing with the high ankle sprain. So I think both of those, Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, are both decent flex options that I would put behind Gabriel Davis.
And they're
Mike, Christian Watson or those two guys?
Christian Watson. But it's those two, especially Donovan, like I'm going up to the wire of I need to see the reports from the field. How are the field conditions? Is it snowing? Because we're still too far away to know for sure if the snow will be cleared by then. But if the snow isn't actively coming down and they've cleared the field and it's just cold, I still would be willing to play Peoples-Jones. Amari Cooper with the road splits. It's just,
I'm not. I'll go on record. I'm not playing them Cleveland wide receivers.
Okay.
Buffalo just lost a close game. This is, what's the line in this game? 7.5 gives Cleveland 17 points. No, I'm gonna personally stay away.
Okay. I mean, over the last 6 weeks, Buffalo 26th against fantasy wide receivers, allowing over 30 points a game to the position.
I don't think there's upside.
Okay.
Donovan Peoples-Jones has not been in the top 24 this year.
He has not scored it. Does he have the most yards without a touchdown, or is it Deontay?
I'm not banking on a toudown in Buffalo.
Sure, but it's just saying, to quote the not in the top 24, while the guy is averaging basically 80 yards for the last 8 weeks or so, I mean, he's been good.
Fair to say that I don't see upside if he's never been in there?
Sure, you could say that, or you could say there is the regression to the mean of he should have 3 touchdowns or so at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it from either side.
I know, but the Donovan Peoples-Jones is not a proven commodity. So what's the regression to?
Well, I mean, you've got a proven nature of him being involved in this offense, especially while Njoku's been gone, but it proven to the point of a consistent floor. Not necessarily any kind of ceiling. So
are you making your very first touchdown guarantee, Mike?
I am not.
Okay.
No.
Quick break. Back with another matchup.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday. Chicago Bears are 3-7. They take on the 4-6 Atlanta Falcons. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Atlanta 3.5-point home favorites. The over-under is 49. This game should be fun. I mean, you have two below 500 teams that the storylines surrounding them are more. Look, they're interesting for fantasy purposes. The Bears, They give up a ton of fantasy points to running backs. Past 6 weeks, they've done that to the wide receiver as well. They've definitely gotten worse on the back end. You know, it's been a fun offense to watch. Justin Fields has been on fire, a blazing inferno. They need, like, Justin Fields, if he got near that stadium in Buffalo, no problems with the snow.
Oh, yeah. Well, there'd be a problem with...
like a flood?
Yes.
Yeah. David Montgomery, you know, just Khalil Herbert gone. Is on IR. And so David Montgomery has a huge opportunity here. I mean, the Falcons, 25th against the running back position over the last 6 weeks, 22nd on the year.
He's a good start. I feel like he is
great. He should be a great start. With he did not practice on Wednesday, personal reasons. We don't know what's going on with David Montgomery. But at this point, no reason to expect he won't play. But just saying, you need to keep an eye on that.
He should have 20 opportunities in this game.
Yes, he should.
And if he has 20 opportunities against the Atlanta Falcons, even if he does not get a touchdown, he should have a safe enough floor. The touchdowns should still be coming for him. I know Justin Fields has been real selfish, hogging all them touchdowns.
He's just taking what belongs to him, man.
That's fair. But I have no fears starting David Montgomery. Just he's had some down games, but the situation is great this week.
The backup there is going to be Treston Ebner, mm-hmm. who with the personal day for David Montgomery was the top back in practice. Darnell Mooney against this Atlanta defense.
Yep.
He won't be the one scoring the touchdown, obviously. That'll be Chase Claypool.
Well,
but, Mike, Darnell Mooney can, you know, get it done.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm checking in on the Falcons defense on the season. 32nd out of 32 against fantasy wide receivers over the past 6 weeks. 32nd over out of 32. So
you're saying maybe both can get in the end zone?
That's what I'm saying. That's the absolute best possible matchup for fantasy wide receivers. Justin Fields on fire. We've talked about, like, Fields isn't going to hit a 60-yard rushing touchdown every single week. And his passing touchdowns, since the change of the offense, the touchdowns are on the rise as well. I think it's crazy to be in this world. The 3-7 Bears of where they were at the beginning of the year to now, like, pretty much the key pieces in this offense in play. Fields, great play. Montgomery, great play. Mooney, you can start him. Chase Claypool is apparently scoring a touchdown this week.
That's it, though.
Because the wizard over there. Yeah. You're out on...
Claypool is going to catch 2 for 24 and a touchdown.
Okay. Oh, so you're
just to put the full stat line
and
in.
And then
there.
Cole Kmet, 4 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. I mean, he did not practice on Wednesday with the thigh, but if he's active, he's in streaming contention.
Yeah, yeah. He's a streamer, but monitor that injury. It was a... Did you say it was a thigh?
That's what we have listed.
Yeah.
Both teams want to run the ball. Chicago's number one in rush rate. Atlanta's number two. The over-under is nice. Cordarrelle Patterson. Look, Mike, I know we're going to talk about him later.
Yeah.
That makes me happy because last week was very concerning for people seeing so few touches. You know, Tyler Allgeier on the field, Caleb Huntley on the field, Avery Williams on the field. It was annoying. You know, this offense, you think they get back to Cordarrelle?
The story that I tell myself with Patterson heading into this week was the guy is still returning from his injury, and I mean it was really rainy, right? I'm remembering that correct. The game on Thursday, there was a bunch of rain.
Those were the tears of Patterson managers.
That's
you're talking about Panthers and
Falcons?
Yeah, it was rainy.
Yeah, like the field conditions, perhaps they were trying to protect Patterson from you know, slipping, hurt, re-aggravating an injury. And so they went with the other guys.
You're gifted. You should write little stories for people when they have a bad week with a certain player, because that was persuasive enough for me. It was like a little bedtime story.
It's what we have to do when we play fantasy
Once
football.
Upon a time, they wanted to protect Cordarrelle Patterson.
Because the snap percentage, it went down a point, but the opportunities went way down. So I think he will be back. He's the best running back on the team.
Drake London and Kyle Pitts are both close your eyes gambles. That's mm-hmm. what it is every week. Look, there's injuries, right? There's injuries at the tight end position, and you may be backed into it, but you're probably going to be unhappy. That's just Drake London and Kyle Pitts. Their subtitle is you're probably going to be unhappy this week.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. Cole Kmet, let's say he practices in full rest of the week, he plays, You playing Cole Kmet or you playing Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, Cole Kmet.
That's where we're at.
All right, the Philadelphia Eagles are 8-1, and they take on the 4-5-1 Indianapolis Colts. This game's in Indianapolis. The DraftKings Sportsbook line here, Philadelphia minus 7. Doing it again.
Oh, man.
Andy's almost upset of the week.
The Philly fans don't like me. I got a lot of messages about that because of what happened on Monday night.
Did you tell them that you didn't play the football game?
I tried. I tried to let them know it was on them, but then they blamed the refs, and we just moved on.
Yeah, they had a point for a couple plays.
So the Colts defense, over the last 6 weeks, number one against opposing fantasy wide receivers, 10th against tight ends, no Dallas Goedert, games at home in Indianapolis. I like what I've seen from the Colts defense in spurts this year. Jonathan Taylor is healthy. A.J. Brown, we think he's healthy. He says he's fine. Remember, don't listen to the players.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown were both limited in practice. I think this is a game. Indianapolis needs it to stay in contention. So I think it will be a very close one. Do you guys find me to be silly in this prognostication?
Nope. For the second week in a row, I'm in complete agreement with you. I took the points on the Indianapolis Colts side. They're at home. They've got the coaching change, and maybe they are trying to buy into Saturday. Give it everything you got. and I think that
so he's a leader of men.
That's right. I think the way that this matches up with what I believe is an injured A.J. Brown. I'm not saying he's not going to play, and I'm not saying you can't play him, but I don't think he's at full strength. You saw him kind of roll that ankle, and then you saw him fall later in the game, you know, on a really important route. He's not practicing in full, so you're not at full strength here for the Eagles, and I think at home in Indianapolis, I think almost upset is right. I think the Eagles win this game, but I think this could be a closer game.
Eagles defense has struggled against running backs over the last 6 weeks. They're actually 23rd in football, giving up 22-plus fantasy points per game. Jonathan Taylor, you should play him without fear. At home, good opportunity for him. You do have renewed options in the wide receiver room for the Colts. I'm not saying they're guarantees, but Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell should have, I would say, probably 7-plus targets each in this game, and you just have to roll the dice and hope they're good enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I get that the matchup is terrible against the Eagles for their fantasy wide receivers, but how do you not play Paris Campbell, who has
– You have to.
Like, Paris Campbell with Matt – so his last three games with Matt Ryan, he has been a wide receiver one, not just, he got me points in the flex position. He was a top 12 wide receiver. It's absurd. And then there's the two games right in the middle, the jelly of that sandwich, which was terrible, was Sam Ehlinger, who didn't target Paris Campbell. But Matt Ryan loves just checking it down short to Paris Campbell and seeing what he can do.
I would agree that Paris Campbell is a decent option. I don't think he is a must-start guy. He was everything you just laid out, but he had a touchdown in all three of those games.
Sure, but also seven receptions in all three.
200 target pace in all three of those games, too.
He's certainly gotten a lot of targets. But it's not like he wasn't around with Matt Ryan in the beginning of the year, playing a bunch of snaps, running all the routes, and had bad games. So I don't think it's a guarantee that Paris Campbell is locked and loaded. You know, Christian Watson.
Mike?
That really depends on my scoring format.
PPR.
Paris Campbell.
Okay. Sure, half PPR.
Paris Campbell. Standard, I'll take Christian Watson.
Rookie only league.
Mm. Ooh, I can't play Paris Campbell then.
Yeah, so Watson.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically
Paris. He almost trapped you.
It's pretty much Paris Campbell's rookie season.
Miles Sanders in this game, you're going to play him. Jalen Hurts, of course. And you can't predict the tight end position in Indianapolis right now. And if you need the Goddard replacement, it is Jack Stoll. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think he is.
For whom the bell stalls? For whom the stall?
Yeah, there's something there. Okay. We'll workshop that.
Yeah, we'll get that going.
I do.
What do you think, Kyle?
He is. Kyle, you might know this off the top of your head. Is he 2,500 right now on DraftKings? Like,
he's a stone man.
Oh, yeah. Stone man.
He's been in my lineup a few times.
Okay.
But what? Yeah.
Back to the workshop.
All right. Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I think Devontae Smith appears to be the healthiest receiving option right now. But the Colts defense has not given up a lot of fantasy points to wide receivers. The matchup isn't great. I don't think you bench him.
I don't know if we ever want to do this, Brooksy. Maybe we can build out a show where we do the Mount Rushmore of players you're most scared to always like to start. Like Devontae Smith is that for me. He has been for a couple of years where we all know he's great.
Yeah.
Like if you give Devontae Smith 10 targets, give me that every week. I get a little scared sometimes.
Yeah, I get it.
The New York Football Jets are 6-3. They take on the 5-4 New England Patriots in New England.
Oh.
DK Sportsbook line, New England -3.5. The over-under is just 38. That gives the Patriots 21 points. The Jets just over 17. There's a lot on the line here. The Jets move into first place in the AFC East with a win.
Impressive.
If they lose and the Bills win, they move into last place. That's your NFC or AFC East.
Stakes are high.
I mean, good for you.
This matchup's like you two.
Yeah.
Right? Like one of you could go to the top and then one of you can go to the bottom.
Yeah. Genuinely, our matchup is whoever wins probably has a bye week for the playoffs. Not just like, oh, we're in. And the other one might miss. So this is, I feel you, Jets.
Is this a guaranteed two-man show on Monday next week?
I mean, yeah, one of us is not going to be here. Well, I won't be here if I lose. I'll be gone from
I'll
this
be
planet.
Here, but I'll be a real grump-a-dump.
Grump-a-dump. I love it. So with a lot on the line here, let's talk fantasy. Ramondre Stevenson since week three, the RB8. Lock him in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You have to start him. Jets defense is pretty good, but Ramondre's just been too solid, and in the passing game, I think that makes him safe, even if you do end up getting more work from Damien Harris, who you can't really start yet, but you certainly need to continue to roster him. If he gets more work this week, I won't be surprised, but I don't think it'll make Ramondre have a bad game.
Ramondre's averaging 5 targets a game. Like, to get double-digit carries in the Patriots offense and then 5 or more targets per week, that is outrageous volume.
Over the last 6 weeks, both of these defenses are top 10 against quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. You know, Jakobi Meyers, last time these teams played, was 9-for-60 and a touchdown. I think he is a fine play. But beyond Stevenson and Meyers, I think you just kind of set it down and, respect the fact you have Mac Jones trying to facilitate things and you need to find options elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way, 2 of my favorite defenses this week are in this same game. So, yeah, I'm not looking for too many offensive players. You're right. Ramondre, Jakobi on that side, check out. Let's talk Jets.
Yeah, and Michael Carter. Last time we saw him, RB9 against Buffalo. The Patriots are the number one defense on the year against the running back position. It will be a timeshare between him and James Robinson. Is this a week that you would just literally sit Michael Carter?
Yes. Okay. I'm not looking to start either one of these.
Against them this week.
Either of these running backs. I would play someone like Devin Singletary over either one. Obviously, touchdowns can happen. You could fall in the end zone, but this Patriots defense has just been outstanding against
Michael
running backs.
Carter or Melvin Gordon against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I'd go Gordon. That's tough.
I'll take Carter because I think he could PPR his way to relevance.
Michael Carter or Kenyon Drake for the Baltimore Ravens against the Carolina Panthers with the knowledge that Gus Edwards returned to practice yesterday.
Pass on the question.
I have Kenyon Drake one spot ahead right now, so I'll stick with my ranking.
Is it fair to say Garrett Wilson is your only Jets starter that you want to get out there?
That is correct.
Garrett Wilson, last time we saw him, I believe was over 100 yards for the first time in his career.
Oh, nice.
Nope, I'm wrong. Oh. That was 2 weeks ago. He was at 92 last week, though. 7 targets, 9 targets. Top. He was 16th and 13th at wide receiver. He's been pretty good.
Where are we with Tyler Conklin, who, when he played New England in Week 8, 2 tutties, and that's the weak point of the Patriots' defense.
It's fine.
But you saw him have the huge game with the 10 targets the next week, just completely vanished. Or do you think they will exploit that? Would you play Tyler Conklin or Kyle Pitts?
Conklin over Pitts.
Okay. Oh, what?
Yeah.
We got to
move on.
Yeah,
let's move on.
The Rams are 3-6. They take on the 3-7 Saints. Two disappointing teams this year. DraftKings Sportsbook line, New Orleans, -3 at home. The over-under is 39. Is that the most updated line we have with the Matthew Stafford news, Kyle?
That's what we have right now.
My goodness.
That makes sense. I mean, it really does. The Rams offense with Stafford hasn't been boat racing
that
anybody.
Makes sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
New Orleans is awful too.
No, this offensive line for the Rams has been so bad. You lose Cooper Kupp. You lose two more offensive linemen. You go to the Saints, a very difficult environment, and they have a good front there. The pass rush is going to be in Stafford's face, man, all day.
You think the Saints win this game? Is that your prediction?
I do think the Saints win this game.
And you have the Three Stooges now at wide receiver in Los Angeles.
Oh, man.
Allen Robinson, Van Jefferson, Ben Skowronek with no Cooper Kupp. I mean, that plays a part in this line too, right?
Yep.
Marshawn Lattimore is still out. Is that right?
That's correct.
So, Allen Robinson, is he at the top of that list of those three wide receivers if you need a spot start?
He has to be at the top of the list because he's already been getting targets. He projects to be the red zone target that might get a touchdown, but the list starts very late in my rankings. So Allen Robinson is not someone I'm really looking to start. And really, it's more like I like Ben Skowronek the most in reality because I could play him in DFS where I think he's like 3,900 or something, and you try to PPR your way to a punt play at the position. I'm not liking the idea of starting Allen Robinson in my home leagues, but he would be my pick first.
What do you do with Tyler Higbee, who seems like
you play him?
Okay, so the Saints are number one against tight ends.
Yeah, at this point it doesn't matter. We're back to Tyler Higbee is very necessary.
I think he could end up with 8 or 9 targets and end up with 30 yards. You're in a full
last
PPR.
Last week was great, right? Eight catches, 73 yards. I know 3 or 4 of those came on like the last drive of the game. The 3 weeks before he was terrible, but I do tend to agree with Mike that options at tight end are so slim. You're hoping for 4 screens in this game, 4 emergency checkdowns. But it's scary to me.
But if you're saying, well, he could end up with 8 to 9 targets and poor production, the fact that you have a tight end who's getting 8 to 9 targets, you got to push those chips in and hope that he catches them.
You touch on any of the running backs?
Oh no.
Not
no.
No, you can't make me.
I mean, I'm hoping for Kyren Williams to break out, but I'm not playing any of them.
What about Kamara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll play him over the Rams guys.
6 receptions over the last 2 weeks for Alvin Kamara. Hmm. You'd like to see that go up. Chris Olave?
Curious.
Kyle, what is this new metric you want to talk about?
ESPN has a new receiver tracking metric, and basically Chris Olave is top 5 in the league in open score and yak score. Like he's elite already.
Well, let's get a good game because it's been a minute. Olave's in, Kamara's in. Do I talk anymore about these Saints?
Jarvis Landry is back on the field. We're not going to start him in fantasy, but be aware of that.
He was back last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? Are we continuing the Taysom Hill experiment? Or looking at Juwan Johnson, who has more PPR points on the season than Taysom Hill.
I wish we had time to talk about that, Mike.
Well, okay, what if I told you that Juwan Johnson in 3 of the last 4 weeks has been a top 8 fantasy wide receiver? He's been top 4 in 2 of the last 4 games.
I would say that I watched those football games.
Okay.
I would say that I observed, like, his touchdowns freak me out.
Okay, but they still count.
They still count.
And
2 of them came as garbage time final touchdowns of the game. 1 of them came when the defense thought he stepped out and they ignored him going down the sideline.
Sure.
They still count.
He's a magician.
They still count. But I just feel like the bottom might fall out if you were to put him in a starting lineup. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah,
I think he's better
the
play.
The matchup is better. How about this game, Higbee versus Juwan Johnson?
Oh, Higbee?
I'd play Higbee. Okay.
I thought you were going to say Taysom Hill or Juwan Johnson.
As the Juwan Johnson supporter, I would play Higbee over him. But let's see. Would you play like Hayden Hurst against Pittsburgh or Juwan Johnson?
I'm playing Hayden Hurst. Yeah.
Dawson Knox against Cleveland or Juwan Johnson.
Dawson Knox. Give me Josh Allen.
Yeah, the thing about Juwan Johnson is that obviously last week I think that was his first big kind of breakout good game with Landry in the lineup. So he could be breaking out. We could see that. Taysom Hill or Juwan Johnson, Mike?
For the brand, I have to play Juwan Johnson.
Detroit Lions, 3-6, take on the 7-2 New York Giants. DraftKings Sportsbook line, the Giants -3, the over-under is 45. The locks in this game, Saquon Barkley, Amon-Ra St. Brown, no need to discuss them, they are in.
Yep.
Beyond that, though, you do have some headaches. You've got the backfield in Detroit, DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, 55% of... The running back touches last week for Jamal Williams.
That's fine. Just give 40% to DeAndre Swift, please.
I think this might be a game you're disappointed in both players.
Very possible.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised. We'll talk about it here in a minute, as I do really like Jamal Williams.
Really?
Yeah. On the road against the 7th ranked run defense, time?
We'll talk about it in a minute, yeah.
He doesn't want to talk about it now.
Well, I don't want to repeat myself, so yeah. We're getting late.
Daniel Jones has an opportunity against these Lions. I don't know who the benefactors will be. I think Daniel Jones can have a nice game, but Wandale's been brutal, useless.
Yeah.
Slayton's been good.
Yeah, that's if you're throwing a dart at the Giants wide receiver. We've wanted it to be Wandale Robinson. I think that the New York Giants have wanted it to be Wandale Robinson because they tried to get rid of Darius Slayton this offseason. I mean, the top of the list of potential cut candidates over the offseason, Darius Slayton was there, and yet he's necessary to this team, and he is producing. So if you're taking the shot, that's where I would go.
Yeah, Wandale's skill set is not Darius Slayton's skill set. They are very different players. So Slayton has a way of just having a big yardage game on a couple of plays that seems to help stabilize that start fantasy-wise. Are there big questions anywhere else this offense? I thought there'd be more.
Not really. No, I
think your explanation of Jamal Williams, are you going to say what to do with DeAndre Swift?
I can tell you right now that I would prefer to look elsewhere over DeAndre Swift just because of utilization. I'm still terrified that he's
DeAndre
not going...
or Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I know. We're playing each other. Mike, this is a personal question.
You took half the show on personal questions.
I would. Well, right, because I'm personal.
Oh, it's him.
It's me.
Okay.
He's more personal to himself than you are.
I would play Gibson over DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift or Zeke, if he's back.
I would play... that's tough. Probably Zeke.
Okay.
Let's go through this one real quick, too. The Panthers at 3-7, taking on the Baltimore Ravens at 6-3. The DraftKings Sportsbook line here. Baltimore -13 points. The over-under is 41. I don't know if I've seen an implied point total as low as 14 this year, but Carolina, congrats. That's you. And might be too much. It really might be too much. I don't want to play a Panther. Not one.
Yeah.
Are you willing to play Deonta Foreman or DJ Moore?
I mean...
They're going to turn back to Baker.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, and Deonta Foreman at least will have... volume.
Yeah.
And you hope something fluky happens in the game.
Can't wait for Baker Mayfield's endless pump fakes.
He does pump fake
into a sack.
Yeah. Too much and a lot. DJ Moore is what we know what DJ Moore is at this point. He's a player who's going to get 6 or more targets, a talented athlete that will probably have a bad game, has the chance and the talent to have a monster game. So you can plug him in your lineup if you're looking for a boom play. If you're a real underdog and you're needing someone that can get a big play, then you could throw DJ Moore in there because you've obviously seen it a couple times this year, regardless of who the quarterback was.
And to be fair to Deonta Foreman, he did what he's supposed to do in those Atlanta Falcons games. It's not his fault that the matchup is so juicy. But he
pretty
also
good against Tampa.
He was good against Tampa Bay. I mean, a lot of it was padded from a broken 60-yard run, but that's what I'm talking about. For Deonta Foreman, you're hoping if you put him in against Baltimore, he breaks through the line and he gets you a 40-plus yard run.
Yeah, and this one is on the road. It's going to be an uphill battle for them. Lamar, Gus, and who's the wide receiver? I mean, right now, you don't know if Mark Andrews is going to be back. You know, you like to see the limited practice, but we've seen this before, and he didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
If he doesn't play, Isaiah Likely is in your lineup.
Simple flow chart.
Yeah. Isaiah Likely is a phenomenal start whenever Mark Andrews is gone.
If Gus Edwards plays, do you play him or Pacheco against the Chargers?
Pacheco.
Is Kenyon Drake off your list if Gus plays?
No.
Yes.
He's not.
Ooh,
on.
Yes and no. Fight.
Well, I mean, it's a matter of options, right? Like, I say, yes, he's off my list. In a dynasty league, I am forced to start him.
So he's not off your list then.
That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Liarface.
Yeah, that is a bold-faced lie.
I want him to be off my list. I hope
Brian Robinson, you play over him.
100%. Yeah, sure. I think Brian Robinson's a very good play this week.
Would you play... Okay, would you dance with Kareem Hunt?
No.
You'd play Kenyon Drake over Hunt?
Hunt had six carries.
Yeah. No, I'd play Hunt over Drake.
You've not felt the pains of starting.
No,
Kareem
I just
Hunt.
Think that the way this game is going to be against Buffalo, the rushing opportunity, you could have more Hunt in this game.
You could.
I mean,
Kenyon Drake could get two carries if Gus busts his back.
I think he's safer for more than two.
Yeah.
Yeah. They will timeshare. It just comes.
Is this just me not wanting him to be good?
Mm-hmm. That could be it. It comes down.
I guess
to,
he had 11 attempts even when he was bad.
And like when the game after the Gus Edwards, when he returned and had the two touchdowns, Kenyon Drake was very involved in that game as well. So it will be a timeshare regardless. The roulette of the touchdowns, though, that's you're just hoping that your color lands.
All right, say the name of the wide receiver you would take a chance on in a matchup here. You know, Carolina, 25th against wideouts.
Devin Duvernay.
Not DeMarcus Robinson?
No. I mean, you said I had to say the name of a...
Yeah, no, you did, and you accomplished the goal.
Yep, thank you.
All right, the rankings, the start sit tool on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. We'll cover the rest of the matchups tomorrow. It's time to get into our starts.
Starts of the week.
Well, I got jealous.
This is grand theft.
I got jealous, and I got into the show, Doc, early.
Grand theft.
Now Justin Fields is my start of the week.
What a great start,
Suck
Andy.
Suck it, Mike.
The Foot Clan knows.
Look, I know this is cheating.
Yeah.
We all know that Justin Fields should be out there.
And but he's
I have seen a lot of questions about Mahomes, Justin Fields.
Oh, my God.
Josh Allen in the snow or Justin Fields. I'm not willing to sit those two guys, but I am willing to sit everybody else. I think Justin Fields, you know, the Bears, they've unlocked that cheat code. He's averaging 17.1 rushing fantasy points per game. So, but you know, we've seen it broken down all different ways, but he's a running back that averages 17 rushing fantasy points per game and then is the whole quarterback, right? This is like if you gave Taysom Hill a bunch of steroids at the quarterback position. It's been incredible. That's Saquon Barkley's fantasy points.
During that span,
the 17.
That's crazy.
So you get Saquon plus a quarterback. And it doesn't matter if that quarterback looks like Mahomes that day or he looks like Sam Darnold that day. Yeah, you still get the quarterback points. So right now he's got the highest percentage of fantasy points via the ground for any quarterback ever. So it has been predominantly on the ground, but he's been a much better passer too, because if your defense is thinking about having someone run for 178 yards on you, you going to give up some Cole Kmet, no one's around you type of plays.
Chase Claypool touchdowns.
Atlanta is quite forgiving. They rank dead last in passing yards allowed and pressure rate. Justin Fields over everyone but Mahomes and Allen.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to go with Dak Prescott as my start of the week for fantasy quarterbacks. Two areas are key to success. What kind of success do they have in the red zone? And do they connect on big plays? The Vikings have allowed the second highest red zone touchdown rate in the league and the highest rate of 15-plus yard passing plays in the NFL. Check and check. Since the beginning of 2021, Dak has averaged 41 pass attempts per game on the road. The volume and the matchup should be good for Dak to be a top five quarterback this week.
Oh, I love it. Because it's my quarterback this week.
And quarterbacks, it's interesting this week. It's hard to get a strong start. You two have a good one. So I went with my streamer. It's Daniel Jones. It's the plus matchup against the Lions defense.
Check out this guy. He had Justin Fields last week, and now he has to go Daniel Jones.
Oh, man.
What a
I'll
loser.
I'll bet you wish you had Justin Fields.
I do on my teams. How many teams you got Justin Fields on over there?
Zero.
Big believer.
Zero.
That's right, fraud. Daniel.
Way to change your opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too late for you. The Daniel Jones the Daniel Jones meetings have locked the door.
That's right, they have.
Also,
you've traded.
You've always been a Daniel Jones guy. Good
big
point.
Daniel Jones truther.
He
locked that door. Yeah. Stay in there with
the
Daniel.
The door has been locked from the outside.
Yeah. The call is coming from inside the house. Daniel Jones is a fine streaming play this week. Detroit allowing the most yards per game, most points per game. And it's just, it's all there. Just don't watch.
Okay. Brian Robinson is my running back start of the week, taking on Houston. Got that Monday night victory where they ran the ball 49 times. He saw 26 carries. He got into the end zone. I still think the math equation for Brian Robinson requires a touchdown, even in this game, for you to be happy. But season high, 52% of snaps. No J.D. McKissic out there. Game script-wise, Washington should be able to take it to Houston and put these running backs in a position to look. You could have a fourth quarter of Brian Robinson running the football because they have a lead. This is delicious. Play your running backs against Houston, please.
Yeah, no, I like Brian Robinson a lot.
And for the record, I like Antonio Gibson too.
Yeah, yeah. At running back, we talked about it a minute ago. It's Jamal Williams. Andy, you brought up the fact that the Giants are number 7 against the run. They don't look like a great matchup, but it's a lot better than you might think. The New York Giants are allowing the most yards before contact, the second highest yards per carry in the NFL. Here's the last couple of running backs they've faced. Damian Pierce, 94 yards, and then a red zone fumble that could have turned into a touchdown. Travis Etienne, 114 yards and a score. Kenyon Drake, 119 yards and a score. Zeke and Pollard combined for 178 yards. The Lions offensive line is great.
And
Jamal Williams has been awesome all year. I'm making him my start of the week. Now, my only concern with Jamal Williams is not the Giants defense. He missed practice with an illness. Now, I'm not concerned about the illness if he plays. If he plays, they're saying he's good to go. I think you should start him. But we saw Damian Harris miss an entire game with an illness. If he doesn't play, obviously not a good start of the week. I would go with Isaiah Pacheco as my backup.
We saw Davante Adams play with an illness and have, what, one reception? The bug that's going around right now.
If Jamal Williams is active, I will be starting.
Okay. He got the owl.
Yeah, it did. My running back start of the week, I'm going with Cordarrelle Pitter-Patterson against the Chicago Bears.
Keep those legs moving.
The Chicago-Atlanta game, the highest over-under of the week. Because the NFL has turned upside down, the touchdowns, they always come in bunches for Cordarrelle Patterson. He ranks second among all running backs with a first down or a touchdown on 30% of his carries. He is a great player. The matchup is there. Bears 29th in red zone touchdown rate. So I think that the Falcons can keep up with good old Arthur's game plan, which is to establish it. And I think that Patterson's ready.
Kadarius Toney is my wide receiver start of the week.
Oh,
against the
baby.
Chargers.
Love it.
Targeted on 29% of his routes last week, 2 rush attempts. He's a weapon, the best one they have outside of Travis Kelce right now. He was the wide receiver 12 last week. I don't know if people realize that. Explosive, Juju, McColl, you know, Sky Moore is not getting it done. He has 8 total touches for the Chiefs. That's equated to 102 in a score. I think he gets the 5 to 8 touches in this game, and it's going to be good enough for you to be very, very happy with Kadarius Toney. I'm in.
At wide receiver, I'm going with Joshua Palmer as my start of the week. I do not believe that both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams will be active for this game. And if one of them or both of them are gone, Joshua Palmer should be in your lineup. He's had 8 targets in 5 of his last 6 games played, including 8 targets against Kansas City, where he came away with a touchdown in week 2. That is his only touchdown on the season. Kansas City ranks 28th in schedule-adjusted fantasy points to the wide receiver. We just saw Christian Kirk blow up on them. This is going to be very, very necessary for a game in division. And you saw 2 weeks ago, over 100 receiving yards for Joshua Palmer. Big disappointment this last week, but this last week was on the road against the San Francisco 49ers. Great defense. This one is going to be a good week for Joshua Palmer.
And Justin Fields was stolen from me, but I've got Darnell Mooney, the wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, as my start of the week. We did talk about target share of the context, but he's still at 30%. He's the go-to guy for Justin Fields, and I think that they will have success through the air as well as on the ground with the Falcons ranking dead last. We haven't seen that explosion just yet, but over the last 5 weeks, you know, averaging 7 targets a game. And if Cole Kmet can get it done, like if they actually guard him, then it's going to go to Darnell Mooney.
His season would look different to fantasy players if he had gotten into the end zone more than one time. That's sure. been the story. You know, his yardage has gone up. He's a really good player. A couple more touchdowns, we'd be talking a little bit differently, and maybe one comes this week. Dalton Schultz against Minnesota is my start of the week at the tight end position. I think he might be the tight end 3 rest of season behind Kelce and Andrews.
Possible.
And in 4 games with Dak, it's been great. 7 for 62, 5 for 49, 6 for 74, 6 for 54 and a touchdown. That'll do. That's better than most tight ends yes. that you're ever going to get near.
Sure.
Approach, toss into your lineup, whatever you want to say. It goes with Jason's start of the week.
Yeah, I tried to trade my start of the week for your start of the week in real football. If you were with us on the Party Room last night, George Kittle was my trade-away player. I am terrified of what his involvement is with the combination of Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel. But I'm trusting the process. Arizona. I always start every tight end against Arizona, and they always come through. Obviously, George Kittle has the talent to come through. Arizona cannot guard a tight end leaking out at all. Tyler Higbee last week with a backup quarterback was 8 for 73. Since 2018, Kittle has averaged 5 and 76 against Arizona. Kittle was born for primetime in Mexico City. I think Kittle has a good game, and if your trade deadline is open after this week, I would still try to trade
him. It's a Monday night Mexico City game, right?
Oh. Yes.
And for my tight end start of the week, I'm going a little bit deeper here.
Oh, the underpants, they're back.
They are back. It's Foster Moreau this week. He's a tight end. I think he's a spot starter for you.
For the Raiders.
For the Las Vegas Raiders. The matchup is slightly better than you would think because the Denver Broncos, if they are beat anywhere, it is by the tight end position over the past 5 weeks. It is the 26th best, as you would say, against the fantasy tight end. Look, Foster Moreau, he's the king of 40 yards. So if nothing, you'll get at least 40 yards. But I think he has a chance for another touchdown, as we just saw the past week.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom, boom kicker of the week.
As a reminder, the Foot Clan and I are about to battle the big baddie Robbie Gould.
Okay.
Mr. Gould began to chuckle. My knees began to buckle, had me shaking like Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. But a horseman made him blind. Like Gandalf, he shined down the mountain, was young Wei Ku.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, okay, I'm back.
All right, I need all of you.
I didn't realize all these kickers would be pretty into the narrative, like playing a big role in what's taking place here. But
And they all fight each other?
Some do, some help.
So competition.
Is there a dark side and a light side for
kickers?
Sure.
Gould is on the dark side. The light side is Young Wei Ku.
Is that because of his last name?
Yeah,
he started to chuckle. Creepy. Yeah.
Made my knees buckle.
All right, tomorrow the rest of the matchups, the Wheel of Shame. It's not me, Jason.
It's not me, Andy.
Oh, I wonder who it's going to be.
Brooks.
I don't think it's Brooks. Thank you to Jay Grizz for holding it down.
Yes, incredible day.
Great job,
on the
producer.
Ones and twos. Take care, everybody.
See you later. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.